we, as we come to God's word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, please would you send the Spirit who inspired these words to be written to light up our hearts and our minds so that we see Jesus for who he is. And as we know you better, please would we put you on display better? Would we show you better? Would you grow us in our love for you and our love for each other? Would you transform our relationships this morning, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's read Philemon chapter 1. There is only one chapter. We'll read the whole book of Philemon. It's a letter from Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker. Also to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. That's Philemon's home. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favour you do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So, if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Now, here are some things that are going to help us today as we learn from this word. I've got a book here, which we're going to get to later. I've also got a can of Coke. Again, we'll come to that a little bit later. But actually, as we start, I need the help of someone to come up and help me, maybe one of the youngsters. Given what it is, I'm not going to choose one of the bigger youngsters. Carnell, come on. Come to the front. I need your help. Just take off my glasses for this. You're willing to help me. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. That's not part of it. You're willing to help me however you want me to help you, yeah? Okay. What I need you to do is I need you to slap me in the face.
Oh. Yes, come on now. Go on, mate. Do it.
Seriously, slap me in the face. Oh.
Oh.
chosen one of the others. Okay, wait. Come back. Because now, it's my turn. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you a big hug. Thank you, now you can go and sit down. I'm definitely awake now, goodness, right. Riz said to me, oh, they're not going to do it. Little did she know what Carnell is like. But anyway, what was that all about? What was the point of that?
Turn the other cheek.
Not turn the other cheek, something else actually. What I want us to see today is that being in God's family makes you do some very strange things. Being God's family makes you do some very strange things. It makes you generous to others, even if they have offended you. Family love is such a tight bond. You do stuff for your family that you wouldn't do for anyone else. When it's your family, you are generous in forgiving them and you're generous in giving to them as well. Family love makes it possible to hug those who've slapped you around the face. That's right. Family love makes you do some very strange things. And so it is with God's family. As we saw last week, all who trust in Jesus the Son are adopted in as children of God. Isn't that an amazing thing? This morning as we gather together as God's people, we are family. I wasn't going to do that. We are family. That's what we are. But maybe, just maybe, this morning, maybe it feels like you've been slapped by someone else in God's family. Probably not literally, unless you're me. But maybe it feels like some other Christian has caused you a great offense. Maybe it was a careless comment. Maybe it was a nasty message. Maybe you were left out, or you were singled out. Perhaps someone let you down in a big way. Maybe someone abused your trust. Maybe someone sinned against you. Maybe there's disagreement or tension in your relationship with some other Christian. Is that you this morning? Only you will know, probably. Is there distance between you and some other Christian? If not, then praise God. But the likelihood is, it's probably going to happen. We are all sinners. We're all sinners, right? We all have rough edges, right? And as we rub up against each other, as we spend time together, sometimes those rough edges hurt. And until the new creation, we're going to get things wrong. We're going to offend each other. There will be times when it feels like some other Christian has slapped you in the face. So how are you supposed to deal with that? What are you supposed to do? But what I want us to see is that being in God's family moves us to graciously love others even when they've offended us, even when it seems like a very strange thing to do. This is what family love does. So, family love, firstly, family love welcomes. Family love welcomes. We've got an action for this. It's a hug. Okay, so you can do that with me. Family love welcomes. Just like I hugged Carnell after he slapped me. Family love welcomes. Family love is generous in receiving others. This is our second week in the letter to Philemon. And this week we're looking at it from Philemon's point of view. Philemon is a man familiar with God's family love. He's someone who has received that family love for himself. Look at verse 3. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So Philemon was a Christian. He is someone who had received grace, undeserved kindness from, verse 3, God our Father and God the Son. And through the spirit of sonship, he had been adopted into God's family. Throughout this letter, family language is used. You might have recognized that. Look at verse 7, for example, where Paul calls Philemon brother. And then in verse 20, he says the same, brother. So Philemon is someone who had received God's family love, but he also shared that family love with others. Verse 4, Paul prays, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. Verse 7, your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. This is a very similar prayer to the one we saw in Ephesians a couple of weeks ago. Paul thanks God for the two signs of spiritual life. Faith in the Lord Jesus, which overflows into a love for God's people. Love for God is always seen in a love for his people. After all, Jesus said, by this all people shall know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. This is a sign of the real thing. And so Philemon, not only had he known God's family love, but he had shown God's family love to others. And there's a wonderful description of it there in verse 7. He says, you've refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people, which brings me to my can of Coke. There's nothing like a cold can of Coke on a hot day. Now, it's not a particularly hot day, and it's not a particularly cold can of Coke. But even so, it is a refreshing thing, even though this is a no sugar, no calories, no caffeine. I'm not sure what there is in there, actually. It may just be water. But even so, as I take a sip, it genuinely does bring a bit of a boost. It refreshes me. And in the same way, when we show family love towards others, it refreshes them. It does them good. If we've been on the receiving end of family love, we know that, right? It helps us. It does us good. And so Paul, verse 7, he says, I've got joy and encouragement as I hear about your faith in action, your family love for all of the Lord's people. And it's this love which is the foundation for the very strange thing that Paul is about to ask Philemon to do. Look at verse 8. Therefore, because of this family love which you know and which you show, therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. This is really important. Paul is in a position of power. He could command Philemon. If you look down at verse 19, Paul says, you owe me your very self. Philemon is someone who had become a Christian under Paul's influence and then joined him in the trenches, shoulder to shoulder, working for the gospel. And clearly they had become quite close. At verse 1, Paul calls Philemon our dear friend. In fact, he's so close that Paul can presume to come and stay at his house. Verse 22, he says, prepare a guest room for me because I'm hoping to come. He doesn't ask, would it be all right if I, you know, surf on your couch for a bit? He just says, prepare a guest room because I'm coming. You can't do that with everyone. Clearly, they were close friends. And Paul is writing as a spiritual father to a spiritual son, but he is really careful not to pull rank. I could order you, but I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. He was in a position of power, but instead he chose to portray himself in a position of weakness. Look at verse 9. He says, I'm an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I'm not flexing my muscles and forcing you. I want you to see that what I'm about to ask you to do is a matter of family love. That's much more powerful than a command. And having laid the foundation of love, Paul now gets to the point. Verse 10. Have a look at verse 10. He says, I'm talking about Onesimus, your runaway slave. Here's Onesimus, the runaway slave. It's not a photo of him. He might not have looked like that. But here he is. He's going to represent Onesimus for us today. He was Philemon's runaway slave. Now, as we said last week, Roman slavery wasn't necessarily abusive. Slaves could have good jobs that they were paid to do, But even so, they belonged to their master, and so to run away was a serious offence with serious consequences. It was actually a slap to the face of their master. And yet, there is hope for Onesimus, because something had changed. Verse 10, he became my son. He joined God's family. He's one of us now. And so, verse 17, here's Paul's appeal. If you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. Not just welcome him half-heartedly, because you kind of have to. Welcome him as you would welcome me. Give Onesimus that same love and joy and warmth that you would give to your dear friend Paul. That's a very strange thing to do to a runaway slave. That's completely countercultural. That's costly. That's even shameful. It would look like Onesimus has kind of just got away with it. He would lose face. He would look like a weak master. He might even lose more slaves because they think, we might get away with it too. Welcome him back. The stakes are high. But can you see how family love is the basis of this appeal? Paul says, I don't want you to welcome him back because, Paul told me to, and I kind of do owe him one, so I suppose I probably should. He says, no, I want you to welcome him back because you want to. I want you to welcome him back because you love him. I want you to welcome him back because he's one of the family. Paul says, look, I've just told you, I've laid this foundation, you do love God's people. I thank God that you love God's people. And now, this man, Onesimus, has joined your family. So you need to understand that your relationship with this man has changed. He's no longer a slave. Look at verse 16. He's no longer a slave. He's a dear brother. First and foremost, he is family. And family love, you can do it with me if you want. What does family love do? Family love welcomes. It welcomes. You see, this is why Paul prays verse 6. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Do you see? He prays that Philemon will have a deeper understanding of their shared blessings as the family of God. Paul is confident that if Philemon understands the love of God for him, if he understands that Onesimus is now part of the family, it's that bond of family love which will transform their relationship so that he can open his arms and hug the man who slapped him. Family love restores, reconciles, reunites. Now, of course, for us, the challenge is we're also called to love our enemies. But even with that said, there is something special and unique and close about the love that God's family have for one another. Family love, what does it do? Family love welcomes. Family love makes it possible to hug the person who slapped you. God's family love is so powerful that it can break down the biggest dividing walls. It can heal the most horrific hurts. The gospel brings together groups of people who historically have been divided. We get to this book. This is a book about love. And in this book, the author retells a story from another book called Handyman of the Lord. It's set in America, and it's a story of a black man whose poverty had left him begging for food. Ringing the front doorbell at a southern mansion, the man was told to go round the back where he would be given something to eat. The owner of the mansion met him on the back porch and said, "First, we will bless the food. Repeat after me, 'Our Father who art in heaven.'" The hungry man replied, "Your Father who art in heaven." "No," the owner of the house corrected, "our Father who art in heaven." Still the beggar said, "Your Father who art in heaven." Frustrated, the giver of the food asked, Why do you insist on saying your father when I keep telling you to say our father? The man answered, if I say our father, that would make you and me brothers. And I'm afraid the Lord wouldn't like it, you asking your brother to come to the back porch for a piece of bread. The poor man is right. That attitude is completely wrong. Because family love does not hold people at a distance, it welcomes people in. It welcomes all people as equally equal, regardless of the racial or political or national or social or historical barriers that would normally separate us. When I went to South Africa, I thank God that despite the country's recent history of segregation, when I went to church there, there were black people and white people worshipping alongside each other. That's what the gospel does. Praise God. Family love welcomes. Even for us in a diverse group of people like ourselves, it's probably true that there are historical tensions between our countries and our people groups. And yet, we can meet together to worship the Lord Jesus. Praise God. Family love welcomes. When we understand that every single one of God's people is a precious part of his family, that transforms our relationships with each other. And this is also true on an individual level. Perhaps like Philemon and Onesimus, perhaps there is a deep personal offence between you and some other Christian. Perhaps that's the position you find yourself in this morning, with some unresolved conflict. When we realise that we are part of God's family all together, it transforms our individual relationships. A friend of mine is a pastor in Wood Green. One day he spotted someone shoplifting and he stepped in to make a citizen's arrest. He followed him through the shopping precinct and then pinned him up against a wall and then kept him in a holding room until the police came. Pretty brave thing to do. Fair to say, it also put a bit of distance in his relationship with this man. And they would bump into each other in the street, and this man would shout abuse and be very aggressive, as you could understand, in the years that followed. But my friend remained prayerful, and he remained faithful in just extending the hand of love. And several months later, this man became a Christian. And now, in fact, I think we've got a picture of this. Now, this is a picture of my friend and the man that he arrested, baptizing him, because they are now close friends. Thank you, you can move on. So you see that when you become part of God's family, it transforms our relationship. Those who used to be enemies are now friends. You can love those that you used to hate. You can forgive those who have offended you. And I know that's a hard thing. I'm not saying this is easy, but I want us to see that this basis of family love enables us and moves us to be able to do that with one another. Family love moves us to welcome people no matter who they are, no matter what they've done, even if they've done something against us. And the reason we can show that love is because we know that love. While we were still God's enemies, Christ died for us. We have been brought back to God by the death of the Son. The reason we are moved to love those who offend us is because that's what God has done for us. The Lord Jesus, he knows what it's like to be slapped in the face. Literally. As he was mocked and abused, as he was hung up on that cross to die, his open arms welcome us in. He died not simply to show us that he loved us, but to actually remove the problem that keeps us far from God. He paid that penalty that we owe so that we can be brought near to God as sons and daughters. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that love keeps no record of wrongs. And that's just not just something for us to do to others. That's something that God has done for us. Psalm 130. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you, There is forgiveness. Praise God. This is our God. This is who he is. This is what he is like. He is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. We have been loved with patience and grace. Unimaginable patience and grace. If you know anything about yourself, you will agree that God has been unimaginably kind towards you. Despite all of the ways that we slap God in the face with our runaway rebellion, even still, he welcomes us in with a loving embrace. This is our God. If you know this family love, you will show this family love. And so, just as Paul wrote in another letter to the whole of Philemon's church, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on love. Is there someone that you need to be reconciled with? What would that look like for you to be reconciled with the person that you're thinking about? What steps do you need to take to show this family love that you've been shown from God? Perhaps for some of us, the one that we need to be reconciled with this morning is God himself. Perhaps some of us at one time knew him, or said we would knew him. And perhaps we've run a long way away. Perhaps you don't know if there is any coming back. Won't you hear the appeal of God's word this morning? This is a God who is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. The Lord Jesus has his arms open to welcome you in. As freely as that. Won't you come to him today? You can do it right now, trusting in Jesus the Son, the one who died and rose again, so that you could be welcomed in as part of the family. And maybe you think, oh, I'm just not sure. I've got these questions. Don't let that stop you. Come and ask someone about those questions. But don't let it stop you from coming to Jesus today and knowing that family welcome, family love welcomes. Secondly, and much more briefly, family love sends. Family love sends. We've got an action for this as well. So you can do with two hands, point over to the left or point over to the side. Okay. So family love, 1, 2, 3, sends. That's good. Family love is generous in receiving others, but it's also generous in giving to others. It's like that High School Musical song. We're all in this together. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Joe's shaking his head, but he definitely does. It's your favourite, don't you? There was a High School Musical song which said, "We're all in this together." That's all you need to know. Tyler, are you a fan?
Used to be.
You used to be, and then you grew up. That's a bit shameful for myself. Anyway, the High School Musical song says, "We're all in this together." And when we realise that we are all part of God's family, when we realise that we're all in this together, that moves us to give for the good of others, even when that means we're giving away our best stuff. We see that attitude firstly in Paul. Look at verse 12. Paul says to Philemon, "I am sending Onesimus, who is my very heart, back to you." Imagine cutting open your chest, taking out your heart, and sending it in the mail to someone else. That would be pretty painful, right? And so for Paul, it was a costly and a painful thing to do, to lose Onesimus. Verse 13, "I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel." And so Paul models this selfless sending. He'd rather keep Onesimus, but instead he sends, and then he drops a hint that Philemon might like to follow his example. Verse 14, "But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favour you do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary." It's kind of saying, I'm not going to make you, but if you wanted to send him back to me, I'm just saying that's a possibility. You can if you like. Now, we don't know if Philemon did send Onesimus back or not, but I hope we can see that family love opens up the possibility of generosity. Suddenly, it's not just all about my interests. It's about the interests of the whole family. We're all in this together. That's how family works, right? On Saturday, we're going on a family holiday up to the Yorkshire coast. During those 2 weeks, my wife and I will do some things that if we were by ourselves, we would never choose to do. So if we were just on holiday, just the two of us, we probably wouldn't go to soft play. We probably wouldn't get up before 6 o'clock in the morning. And we probably wouldn't play with cars on the carpet. But we have two young boys. And so it's not a hassle for us to give of ourselves for the good of others. That's what you do in a family. That's family love. Family love gives generously. Family love is not about piling up stuff for myself on my doorstep. Family love sends to others. Let's do that again together, shall we? Family love sends to others. You see, Paul wasn't concerned with just building the church at Rome. Paul was in prison at Rome, and he doesn't say, oh, I can't send Onesimus away because we'll lose a church member, and we'll have to find someone else to go on all the rotas that he's on. He's not bothered by that. He realizes that as he gives away, we're all in this together. He realizes that God's family is bigger than just us. And as he gave of his heart, he was being a blessing to another part of the family. I hope that we as a church can have this attitude of generosity when it comes to sending people. After all, Silver Street Community Church only exists because of the generosity, the family love of Enfield Town Community Church, who 4 years ago sent of their best people to come and start a church here. That was not without tears. That was not without cost. But that's what family love does. Family love sends. I can say that, by the way. I wasn't part of the planting team. So I wasn't part of those best people. But it's certainly true. In fact, I was actually at Enfield Town after the Silver Street lot was sent off. And I can tell you, it hurt. It really hurt. There were big gaps in the church family because the best of the bunch had been sent down to Edmonton. It was a real cost for the sending church. But this is what family love does. It sends. That's one of the great things about having regular students here from Bible College. Every year, we get to send people to a different part of God's family. Of course, we miss them because we love them. But it's really good for us to be able to send and to show our family love by sending. As a partnership of churches, we're part of a partnership. You can see the map on the back. 5 churches in and around Enfield. We work together. And one of our prayerful visions is to plant more churches in Eastern Enfield in the very near future. And when we plant more churches, we hope and pray that some of the people are sent from Silver Street Church. And we're going to send our best people. We're going to send people we love, people who are our very heart. That'll be sad, won't it? But it'll be amazing. It'll be exciting, won't it? What an amazing thing to be part of, that we can send our best people, because it's not just about us. We're all in this together. God's family is bigger than just Silver Street. And so we can send of our very best, because after all, that's what God did. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave of himself for the good of others. Do you believe in Jesus? Are you someone this morning who is trusting Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins? If not, you can do that today, and I urge you to please do that today. And as you do, and if you are, then do you realize that you've been sent the most generous gift of all, the most precious person of all, the one who is in the very heart of the Father, the beloved Son, given over to death for us, raised to life for us? That's family love. A love that sends. If we know that love, we will show that love. We will be generous in our giving to others. And it's not actually just about sending people. This family love is also seen in our generosity with money. If Philemon was going to send Onesimus back to Paul, that would be a big financial cost for him. Onesimus was on his payroll. He was a valuable staff member. He belonged to Philemon. Gospel generosity always has an impact on our wallet and our bank accounts. I thank God for the many ways in which I see members of this church family caring for each other, loving each other in financial ways. I wonder if for some of us this is a prompt from God's word to be generous-hearted in our financial giving. Did you know when you give to the work of the church, you're actually giving to your family? Even if you don't have much, could you give what you have from a cheerful heart? Like that poor lady who Jesus watched dropping 2 pennies into the offering, her attitude was more valuable than her coins. Could I ask you to give regularly to the work of Silver Street Church? If you don't know how to do that, at the box there is a black box. At the back there's a black box which says gifts, and there's a sheet of paper in there which will give you the details to start a regular standing order. Did you know, as a family, as a church family, at the moment we face some financial challenges, and if by God's grace we want to continue to grow and expand in our reach in this community, then that will have financial implications as well. There are other costs attached to that. But did you also know that if everyone who came to Silver Street gave what they could, we would not be facing those same financial challenges? That's just the reality. If everyone who came gave what they could, not beyond what they could, just gave what they could, then we wouldn't be facing those same financial challenges. We are not funded by anyone else. This church family relies on you to give. And actually, that's just a fitting response to the God who gives generously to us. One poor lady in the 1800s, she was very poor, had nothing, and suddenly she received an inheritance after her father died, and she gave it all away to Christian work. And someone tried to change her mind, but she said this: "The Lord Jesus has given his last drop of blood for me. Should I not give all the money I have?" She was someone who understood family love. So family love is generous in receiving others and in giving to others. Family love welcomes and family love sends. Do the actions with me for those two things if you're still awake. Family love welcomes and family love sends. Our Father sent his Son. Our Lord Jesus opened his arms to welcome us in. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. As those who know that love, may we be those who show that love. Let's bow our heads together. Father in heaven, we just want to echo where we just ended there and pray that you would help us to be those who first and foremost know the extent of your great love for us. Pray for every person in this room that they would know that love for themselves, that they would be welcomed into the family as a free gift of grace, what you have done for us, not what we could do for you. And give us a deeper understanding of the extent of your love for us, so that we would be quick to love others, both by welcoming in people who have offended us or with whom there is some sort of tension. Please protect our unity as a church family. And also as we give to others, as we give of people, as we give of our money and of our stuff and of our time, please would you help us to be generous-hearted because of your generosity to us. Lord, capture our hearts with what you have done for us, that we might begin to imitate your character in the way that we interact with other members of your glorious family. What a privilege it is to be children of God, people who can come to you in prayer by the Spirit of Sonship through Jesus the Son, addressing you as Father because of what you have done for us. We praise you and we worship you. in Jesus' name. Amen.